when you hear something that is divergent, don't take it as an assault or something that is against you. Take it as an opportunity to say, okay, this is something different. I need to evaluate this. I don't need to be defensive towards this.
If you're not conscious about your investment strategy, you won't end up where you want to be, not financially or as a human. On this show, we interview highly successful investors and share how they overcame limitations to become unstoppable forces of success. If you're ready to learn what it is to be a conscious investor so you can end up where you want, keep listening.
Hey, conscious investor, I am so excited to tackle the second part of Declaration 8, We Shall Inspire Greatness. We are going to be talking today about the 9 virtues of greatness. But as always, I love to show you a little bit of love, and I want to share with you, did you realize that I run a book club? And this book club has been around since technically the end of 2019. Yeah, it's been around for quite a while. No, I'm sorry. 2020, the end of 2020. Still been around for a while. This year, we've already read The 12-Week Year. We have read The Motivation Manifesto, which this episode is based on. We are getting ready to, we're in process by the time this goes live with Earl Nightingale's Lead the Field. And I just want to give you an idea of what we're reading the rest of the year. We will be reading Ryan Holiday. I have to have a Ryan Holiday book, at least one every year. Discipline is Destiny. If you haven't read his books, you need to pick them up. We are reading Uncommon Accountability, which same authors as 12-Week Year, because accountability is really important. Most of us don't know how to do this. We'll also be reading The E-Myth Revisited. That's coming up soon. And our final book of the year is going to likely be Traction. We might get one more book in after that. So we always swap between personal development and professional development. I'm sorry, there is one more book that we're going to read. Michael Neal, I love his work, The Inside Out Revolution. So again, we swap between personal and professional development, right? We don't want to ever be lopsided. We want to make sure that, yes, we're doing the inner deep work and we're also building up our business skills so that we can really level up our businesses, especially most of you are entrepreneurs or you have that type of mindset and thinking. Even if you're working in a W-2 job, you can still have an entrepreneurial spirit. So I know as a classroom teacher, I did things in a very different way, especially the last few years of my experience as a public school teacher. And that is like, I just approached it. I always approached it, even in my 20s, as these are my clients. These are the people that I serve and support. And so it's already a different approach. And so you might be like that conscious investor where your approach to your duties at your job are not just, oh, well, this is my role and my responsibility. You see a bigger picture of it. That led to me writing a lot of grants and doing a lot of things that were outside the wheelhouse, like starting a junior robotics team for the first Lego League, taking them to the world championship down in Houston, Texas, their first year. It was just absolutely exciting. And when we live a limitless life, when we just allow ourselves to receive all the opportunities, it is amazing what we can accomplish. So I just want to encourage you, if you're interested in leveling up, reading will change your life. You don't need to be a reader. You don't have to read all the time. And if you love audiobooks, that's fine. You can ingest the content however you want. We meet Wednesday mornings from 9 to 10 a.m. on Wednesday mornings. That's Pacific time. So down in the link, you will see a way to connect with me. You can shoot me an email, julie@juliehawley.com, and I will send you the registration link so that you can join us. It's free and it's an amazing group of people. Great way to network with people, to find like-minded people, and to really elevate yourself as a person. I can assure you, I've seen it happen with so many people in the book club. Their personal growth just takes off and it's magic. It's so much fun to watch like people grow in real time. Okay, I'm going to jump into our episode because there are 9 virtues of greatness, and I don't want to go too long into all of these. There are a few I'm going to go into in depth a little bit more, but I just want to encourage you one last thing. If you would please leave a rating and review, subscribe and share those things. I know you hear all of us say this all the time. So don't just do that for the conscious investor. Do that for all the podcasts or YouTube channels that you enjoy and appreciate, are inspired or challenged by. Please make sure those are such small ways. We pour a lot of time, energy, money, everything into producing these type of episodes to support you. And we love it. I know I love it. I haven't met a podcaster that doesn't love it. And so I just want to encourage you to please just show that love right on back to the people that are supporting you. And here we go. 9 Virtues of Greatness, Declaration 8. This is part 2. I'm going to give you, as always, show you some respect. I'm going to give you all 9 of these right now, and then we're going to dive into each one individually. So, and I'm just going to read them off, and I'm going to let you know there are 9 in total. So we have honesty, responsibility, intelligence, excellence, courage, respect, vigilance, service, and unity. If you were counting while you were driving, I hope you were being safe. All right, let's dive into honesty. And this is something that is a recurring theme from cover to cover of Motivation Manifesto. We spoke about it in talking about integrity. We spoke about it in freedom and fear and motivation. Like, honesty is just a recurring theme. So here's the nuts and bolts way of characterizing honesty: uncompromising in truth and helping others to do the same. And we've walked away with this over the years, even in my lifetime. Actually, I characterize myself as a Xennial. My husband gives me grief over that. But look up Xennials and you might be like, oh my gosh, I'm a Xennial too, Julie. And that would be fun. Most people say you're a Gen Xer. But as a Gen Xer or a Xennial, as I like to identify as, and in this world and day and age, we get to choose that, right? But anyhow, I've seen this shift where people are not, they don't want to hurt others. And now people are also concerned about social backlash they might spark by saying something. I mean, I know I'm very cautious about what I post on the social platforms, not because I don't want to be direct, but I'm like, I don't want to be divisive. Is this going to divide or is this going to help encourage and support people? Is always a question I ask myself, right? Maybe I need to stop filtering it or just like lighten my filter a little bit, because sometimes we're being so concerned about this that we actually keep our mouths shut. And instead of learning to be truth tellers, we're no longer honest and we are lying by either omission or commission. We covered that a few episodes ago, right? And so maybe we just want to be the easygoing or nice guy or gal. We're not the overbearing kind. I talked about that in the previous episode. We don't want to be perceived as critical or judgmental. And we don't want, especially, be like, oh, that's the condemning curmudgeon. Like, we don't want those labels on us. And so now for all these generations, for the Gen Xers and the other younger generations, we really haven't had role models when it comes to healthy candor. Let's define candor, okay? Because it's not a word that we hear very often. And I think it's a word we need to really, as conscious investors, really start educating the people around us in a loving, respectful way, of course. But that just means speaking directly and deliberately about something that needs to be corrected. These things happen, and we need to be able to speak truthfully and honestly about them. What I'm trying to say is that honesty is something that everyone values. We all appreciate when people are honest with us and that they're not lying to us, but we have to be honest. And when we act in honesty, we inspire that in others around us. And when we don't act with that honesty, there are significant, substantial repercussions. Here's some examples. And I honestly could have sat and thought of my own, but I think Prashard's examples were really fantastic. The repercussions of keeping our mouths closed to play it safe and cool. We shall say, do you realize that when you failed to complete your responsibility and turn in that report, your entire team was put on hold and left uninformed at the last meeting? Or maybe, are you aware of the fact that by you not paying child support, your son has taken to stealing food from the corner grocery store? Or maybe we're being honest and saying, can you see that all this blaming of your parents and culture isn't getting you anywhere? That you alone are responsible for your actions and the direction your life and direction in life, regardless of the past? Yeah, it's difficult to do this, but he says later, if we're unwilling to point out when someone is being irresponsible in their duties and behavior, then we are unfit to lead. Conscious investor, you are a leader and the world desperately needs you. And we need to be truth tellers. We need to speak honestly. We need candor. And we don't have to do that in a disrespectful, curmudgeon, condemning, judgmental way. We can speak these truths to people. And that starts by creating genuine relationships with those around us. I'm going to encourage you. This book is powerful. You're getting like the little, like the biggest, like, okay, these are the gems being distilled down for you. And I want to encourage you to take your time to read through this book on your own, because even if you don't agree with everything he says, it is going to allow your brain to think. It's something different than other standard books. It's going to challenge you to think. Let's go to the second virtue, responsibility, and being fully honest and living with integrity. I have to let you know that I did lump some of the responsibility in with the honesty. So I apologize for that. Just a little more elaboration on responsibility is that responsibility requires that we stop favoring ease over duty. A lot of times people want to just put something off. Oh no, I'll get to it later. I get to it later. For me, I could easily make an excuse and be like, oh my gosh, I'm in major expansion mode. All of these things are taking place. I can't return that call. I can't do this. I could make all these excuses, but there is a duty and a responsibility. Things have to get done. Investor reports must get written. They must get sent out. These things are, people are counting on those. People need their K-1 statements. My coaching clients need me to be in command of my schedule so that they can depend on their coaching sessions, right? So we have to stop favoring ease over duty. We must get into action-oriented mode. So there's another juxtaposition here, and that is we can be kind and understanding, and we can be direct and passionate. And this is specifically in regards to speaking with others. So sometimes we need to talk to others about their performance. And as we do that, we need to look at that. I'm kind and understanding, and I am direct and passionate about what the standards are. These are the responsibilities that I have. And if we cannot address irresponsible behaviors, as he said, and I read it earlier in the wrong section, then we are unfit to lead. And so we need to really build up that internal strength. And I want to encourage you that that starts with being honest with yourself. That starts with you being direct and passionate with yourself so that you understand, what does this feel like? And how can I better behave in this way towards others that is a constructive way versus a destructive way? All right, let's go to number three. Intelligence. In the age of information, most people are only superficially informed, and this leads to so many misunderstandings, fear, anxiety, and action that derails life. We must help others learn. We must help them explore, to think critically, and to grow in their wisdom. I love this quote. He says, well, I'm just going to read this one little section. The world has grown full of people ignorant of the grave matters affecting their lives and communities, and only superficially informed in their areas of expertise. Yet as people become more ignorant, they become more cynical. They have not taken the trouble to learn what is true. So they reject the facts that they were too lazy or biased to examine. Wherever you are on any spectrum, please do not get into your echo chamber. It is so easy. And the way the algorithms work, it is so easy to just have everything affirmed. And we're just in that echo chamber. When you hear something that is divergent, don't take it as an assault or something that is against you. Take it as an opportunity to say, okay, this is something different. I need to evaluate this. I don't need to be defensive towards this. I need to be curious about this and see where this is going, because it's easy in this day and age for us to live in our little silos and our little echo chambers. Again, remember, I live in North Idaho. Prepper Central. It's like, unfortunately, so many people live in their space that is based out of fear, based out of something that they've created in their minds, and they're choosing to not live life, the gift of life that they've been blessed with. And again, it doesn't matter where you live. Every walk of life has its Achilles heel that would be easy to slip into. So make sure we are growing our intelligence and that we are allowing ourselves to be challenged in our thinking, because that is super fun. And to make sure also, please live life. Living life is such a precious gift. And we're going to get into that in our final declaration that's coming up next week. All right, let's move on to our declaration on excellence. I believe it's number 4. This really hit home. Holy smokes. Do things well, do things completely. And honestly, this hit home because I was thinking about some of the standards. And I mentioned this before, some of the standards I have around the house, like what kind of clean room do I want my kids to have? What does that look like? What are the standards for grades? What are the standards for how I'm treating my family and my friends and acting around the community, right? Like do things well, do things completely. And Burchard had some pointed words on this. And at the beginning on freedom, fear, and motivation, he chose his words very deliberately. And he says this again. He's like, those who do not share our interest in excellence must be left behind, as they will not contribute meaningfully and they cannot be led on our particular path. We have no need to worry about cutting poor performers loose. They will quickly be picked up and find their own place. This is not being dismissive or cruel or unappreciative. It is simply allowing people to find out where their level of contribution and talent is really needed. We do not need to judge them and we do not need to seek to fix them on our own journey. We are merely choosing to surround ourselves with those who align with our values and our mission. We must never be shy in setting the expectation for world-class performance. Widely shared, it becomes an unwavering standard that inspires everyone to a higher quality of action. I read that in full and totality because I hope you can hear that heart. Yeah, it's not judgmental. It's not criticizing people or trying to fix people. Everybody's going to find their space to shine in the world. Okay. And we need to give people the space to do things with excellence. And for us to have our space of, this is how I do things, and this is a standard how I do things. And someone else is going to find where their standards are, and I don't have to worry about that, nor do you. Our next virtue is courage. You've heard me say it before, especially recently, words, words, words. They are so cheap. Inspire others to take action versus just talking about things. Okay. So you can ask people, and my husband and my friends. Oh, I don't think that you can be one of my friends. Even strangers know this. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to ask you some tougher questions. We had friends over last night and I asked permission. I usually do. I'm like, do you mind if I ask you something? And so you can always just couch it like that and say like, hey, so what have you done about it? My husband has some different things and I have to be careful how I ask this with him because I don't want to be hurtful, but just say like, what are you doing about it? Like, if that's what you want, I mean, like, if somebody wants something, they can have it. So what are you doing about it? We can also ask, what do you think about it? Because maybe they just have something they need to process through. And it's fun. Again, if you want to do this with strangers like I do, you can just temper it with like, would you mind a friendly challenge? And people who know me know I will give you a friendly challenge. And take it or leave it, people around me are doing really cool things. And when we challenge people by asking those questions, we are helping people see the sequence of actions that they can take. So I've helped like my friends, I've helped coaching clients leave jobs. I've helped my coaching clients start businesses to find the courage to have critical conversations, to course correct deals that are going south. Those challenging questions, those critical conversations, they are the gateway of opportunity. And often we are lazy and we don't want to take the time to think through our own thoughts on something, let alone process. How do we get what we want? How do we do this? Okay. So when we take time for ourselves, especially we can lead people through this process. We can help them identify what are those next 3 steps that they need to take so that they can be striving towards what they want in life, what they are being drawn to. Leading people in this way will activate their courage to take action. All right, we've got respect, and respect is something that we just can't not have enough of. When it comes to respect, I'm going to read this very brief section. Burchard says, we must show tremendous respect to those we seek to inspire, even if we are being strong and demanding with them. And we must ask them to give others the same respect. The more people we lead, the more we can anticipate that there will be disrespect in our ranks, whether towards us or towards others. We shall be kind to the perpetrator, yet uncompromising in asking for apology and redress. Give the disrespectful person affection and patience, but also clear warning. Do not tolerate any behavior that is dismissive, cruel, or condescending. Should we fail in this, then we ourselves become unworthy of respect. I think that we have lost sight of that, and that we tend to think of respect as something very soft and gentle and really just limp. And it's not. When we have respect, we hold people to that greater standard. Moving on to vigilance. Don't worry, we're getting there, y'all. Okay. We ask for vigilance by focusing everyone's attention on the things that matter and by being honest about the progress towards those things. So we ask, we know, pay attention. Everyone should know what we're doing. Everyone should know where we must be doing better. Everyone on the team should know what stands in our way. Be alert, yet calm. Now, this applies to your business. This applies to your family life as well. Does your family know where you're headed and what you're trying to accomplish? Because that is critical for them. Your family should be paying attention to each other. How do we support each other? They should know, what are we doing as a family? What's our culture? What are we trying to accomplish? How can we do better at this? What are some of the obstacles in our way, right? These are critical things. Vigilance is critical. Two more, let's dive into service. The intent to do good and well for others, to be of genuine, warm assistance in their time of need. That is what service is. We must direct our energy, our knowledge, and our talent towards making a difference. So we can ask ourselves, do the people around us care deeply for others? Do they want to help people? Do they worry about getting it right and wowing those we strive to serve? And that's a really important thing, because as we are building out our life, we want to make sure that we are aligning ourselves with people that have the same values, missions, belief, so that we can just amplify that and grow it larger. And kind of like earlier, people are going to fall. Just because we might go one direction, it doesn't mean, oh, well, I'm better than these people. It's just, hey, this is the direction I'm going. And we go further, faster when we are working together and collaborating. Everyone who wants in life can figure out, well, they will find their ecosystem and their tribe of people, which leads to the last virtue, which is unity. I think three episodes ago, we talked about pettiness. Like we were talking about hurt, and it's like, we just, sometimes when we're hurt, we act in petty ways. When we're talking about unity, there are some things that we got to get rid of. You know that I created the whole financial freedom does not equal personal freedom formula. Here's another formula for unity. Gossip plus pettiness equals destruction. If there is any gossip or petty behavior within your ecosystem, it is going to be destroyed. So just get rid of it, pluck it, and deal with it. Okay. Replace tolerance, replace those behaviors. Replace those behaviors with tolerance, bonding, and community. So what we want to hear, the more we hear like us and we, instead of I and me, and the more we see people in our ecosystem striving together, dining together, crying together, that's our indicator that we are successful as leaders. I was thinking, as I was working on this episode, I was thinking about the women's entrepreneurship group that I began last year in my town. And I've spoken about it before, but one of the interesting things is all of the business that is taking place and the support. And I'll hear, we'll get to our monthly meeting and or I'll go grab lunch with somebody and I'll bump into like another couple of people getting together. Or I know recently I went to one of my little favorite shops where they had super cute shop. They have all sorts of fun things for the house, but then they also have really amazing food. So it's like this win-win situation. And I walk in and I hear from the balcony area my name. I look up and it's like two women from our entrepreneur group getting together, talking about business, helping each other out. And it happens all the time. And sometimes, I'm just going to admit this aloud, sometimes I can get like, oh, I wasn't invited. So I could choose to be petty. I could be like, oh, well, I guess I just don't matter. And I could take that a whole bunch of different directions. Or I could say, oh my gosh, this is such a success because look, this person is supporting this person and this person is supporting that person. And it's just the way it's flowing and the give and take amongst everybody in this group is so powerful. So it really truly has created a bonded community of us and we, where there are tears that are shed together, tears of sadness, joy, fear, anxiety, everything. And then there's that bonding that just like lifts everybody up. Like, you've got this, and the support. Here's some tactics and strategies. So I want to encourage you, as you are creating community and culture, really ensure and set the tone from the very beginning. There's like, keep the gossip and pettiness out and create that unity from within. Conscious investor, there is one more declaration left. Declaration number 9, we will tackle that next week. And that declaration is, we shall slow time. I appreciate you so much for listening, taking the time to listen. I'd love to know what's standing out to you, what's inspiring you, what's challenging you. You can leave that in the ratings and reviews. You can email me, julie@juliehawley.com, or you can, remember, 3 ways to connect down below in the show notes. We can connect on a 20-minute call. We can just to say hi. We could connect if you're interested in learning about coaching, which right now I don't have any coaching slots available, but you're welcome to join the wait list if that's a good fit for both of us. And then also, if you're interested in investing, make sure you pop on a call so that we can discuss what your goals are and see if the investments we have coming for 2023 are going to support you. But remember, I can't go around sharing about this. I got to know what you're up to, and you've got to know me. It's a mutual trust situation. Conscious investor, I appreciate you. I appreciate just your care and your consideration, and just that you allow me to serve you in this capacity. You are awesome. And until next week, live big, love bigger, and do great things. Are you enjoying this episode? Where would your life be without content like this? Help spread the word by sharing on your social platforms. And please tag me, Happy Julie Hawley.